B-Pod Studios.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
I was listening to you guys last night, in fact, Tyler, and I heard Devon. And I love Devon Gibbs. Yeah, I love. We always have great basketball conversations. So I wanted to bug him today. He's kind enough to give me some of his time at his job. And I appreciate that because I love the way he thinks about ball. We have the same passion about the sport. Devon.
Hey, G. What's up, man?
My man.
How you doing?
All right. So, not really. Because you know what I feel like? I feel like I don't get the joke. Like, you ever been the guy that you go, everybody's cracking up, and you're going, I don't get it. I feel like that. Like, everybody loves, oh, my God, shaky shake, everything. Everybody loves the whole thing. And I'm sitting there going, I don't like taking the ball out of Ben's hands.
Well, I look at it like this, and thanks again for having me on, first of all. I look at it like an opportunity to see Ben move away from the basketball sometime. Yeah, I don't think it's going to be all the time, even though Brett used the words that he used yesterday and saying exclusively at the four. Exclusively at the four means that that's just going to be his position, but the ball will find him because he is too good for the ball not to find him in spaces for him to succeed. Now, we, of course, are accustomed to him so far in the league being someone who facilitates things from the top of the key as they cross half court and all of that. But if you also look at the league too, and the dribble handoffs that are incorporated into the league, which the Sixers do quite often, the opportunity to have him in the middle of the floor, not at the top of the key, where while it is a threat because of what he can do with the ball when he's putting it on the floor, he can also make those decisions in the middle of the floor with the defense, of course, not necessarily being set because he's constantly moving. I like the opportunity to have him not in the dunker's position, as I heard you talk about, but roaming the baseline, cutting into the middle of the painted area, receiving the basketball there, making decisions for himself or his teammates, and also being able to flash to the free throw line extended to make that pass for Embiid. I know you were worried about some of the issues with Embiid and the spacing overall, but even with Simmons' passing with the ball not in his hands initially, but catching, receiving, making a decision because he is such a great passer and a decision maker overall, I think that is something that will help him in this way.
Let me go backwards and then to before we talk. Can Ben Simmons become a top five player in the league without the ball in his hands?
Without the ball in his hands, no.
And maybe I'm stuck on the fact that I still see Simmons, I still see Ben as the guy that needs to have the ball in his hands to create. And maybe I'm stuck in the, here's my offense. I want to run an updated 2.0 version of the Showtime Lakers.
Okay.
So I want to break out. I want to have, my starting lineup would be Ben, Matisse, Jay Rich, Tobias, Joe. I want to play great defense. I'm long. I want to try to get runouts, breakouts. Every time you're long on a shot, on a three, jacking up three, boom, I'm out. I'm in your face running. And then on the half court set, I want Joe to be the five primary focus. And I want Tobias to be more Rip Hamilton-esque. Because I think his best game, I think he's more of a Rip Hamilton mid-range than a three-point shooter. And I'll have, there are times, I'm saying I've never exclusively used Simmons the way you said. And when I do that, I'll have Jay Rich run it because he's my secondary ball handler on the floor with Ben. So that's kind of how I'm approaching. Now you tell me, where am I wrong, Charlie?
And there's nothing wrong with that option that you're putting out there because I've also thought about Matisse Thybulle as a potential starter. Both of the concerns with Thybulle and Chig Milton, to your point, and they're both young players stepping into the playoffs, so we don't know what we're going to get. But that being said, not a bad option, of course, with what your lineup is, having Josh Richardson be that secondary ball handler on the floor for them. We've seen it before. We've seen all of what you're asking for from that particular unit. But in this unit here, having seen the success that Chig Milton had in the nine games that Ben Simmons was pretty much out towards the end of the campaign before it was halted. I just like the opportunity of having someone who can play pick and roll with Shake Milton in his hand, be that ball handler, which is awesome, and even still have Josh Richardson, maybe not as the secondary, but as the third option as a ball handler for a lot of different things. Their offense, to me, with what Brett Brown is trying to do right now, is the movement, not being stagnant, always being on the move, everybody playing off the ball, just constantly finding a spot to receive a pass. Yes, the offense is going to run through Joel Embiid because it always should, even if Ben Simmons is the point guard. You want Joel Embiid.
Yes, that's my worry is first. That in theory, I hear you what you're saying about Ben always moving. But in theory, I think I get it. I think in actuality, I'm afraid that Embiid gets lost. And to me, I'm in a half-court. Embiid's the sun, right? Everybody else revolves around the sun. And sure. Embiid's my sun. S-U-N.
Right, right. And you're 100% right. Ball's dumped down to him first in the low block. That doesn't work. You'll probably see him step out to about 13 to 15 face up from the wing. If that doesn't work out, now we're talking about a pick-and-roll situation with Shake Milton or Ben Simmons. And right. The ball's going to run through them. So when I say Ben and everyone else moving, yeah, it's everyone moving. I'm looking at, as you talked about Josh Richardson, and let me throw this one at you. You talk about the Rip Hamilton effect in this offense with Tobias Harris. I'm also looking at Josh Richardson in the J.J. Redick effect and seeing him, not necessarily with the three-pointers, but remember, right around that 19-foot area where J.J. Redick would come across the baseline, he would get a pick, that pin down, he would come around Joel Embiid's pick with that dribble handoff, pull-up jumper, pull-up, dump off to Embiid as he rolls to the basket, pull-up for Josh Richardson, explode to the basket for Josh Richardson because of the athleticism. While that's happening, on the weak side, Ben Simmons is now doing his thing, and if everybody is...
Why I got to guard Ben? Let me ask you a question. And we're talking to Devon. He's kind enough to give us a call. I love Devon Givens, and you listen to him. You're on tonight, right? 6 o'clock?
6 o'clock.
Make sure you're listening. Make sure you listen all day. Mikey Miss coming up at 2, and then Devon at 6. You got to be listening to the station. So why do I got to follow Ben anywhere outside the paint?
Because as soon as he catches the ball in somewhere in between, inside the 3-point line, he's still a threat to do what you're asking it, to take somebody off the dribble with his speed, catch and go. What I'm looking at there is him catching it if he is on the perimeter. Let's say he's still on the perimeter. You catch and you close out just a little bit. That downhill speed that you're talking about with the ball in his hands, he now has it differently with the ball in his hands as a receiver. Catch, you know he's not going to shoot, but he's going to go. The defense is now at his...
Yeah, but real quick, I don't mean to interrupt, but real quick, if he's got the ball in his hands up top, he can still do the same thing. You sag off him, he's attacking the rim. I mean,
yeah, but they set up easily with the ball at the top. Whereas as you're talking about, the ball's being... Is there things being done away from him? Now the ball is being opposite of him where he is, and he receives it on the catch. Now he's going to do whatever he's going to do to make a decision for himself going through
as a
secondary pass.
Yeah. I think.
That's how I see it.
I know. I think you see it. I don't know. Again, I get what you're saying. Like, I totally understand what you're saying. I just think you're giving the benefit of the doubt that it's going to work, and I don't see it.
Of course I'm giving
you know what I mean? Like, in that. See, here's the other thing. We all of a sudden, I woke up and Shake is Lou Williams.
Yeah,
I mean, you mean
Lou Williams in the starting lineup or Lou Williams?
No, in the starting. Now I want him to be Lou Williams light off the bench, right? Because off the bench, I now have Shake and Horford, right? Yeah. I hate Korkmaz. I'm being real with you. In a playoff situation, I think you're kidding yourself if you're going to rely on Korkmaz, because then you defend, and I don't see it.
No, I get you with the Korkmaz thing because it's just basically going to be a Bellinelli situation. If the defense is a problem for him, he's going to have to go to the to the bench again, and we'll see less of him and more of someone else. I'm not sure if it'll be Mike Scott, Glenn Robinson the third, whatever it might be.
Yeah, but, I don't like those guys. That's why I refer to, if I have Matisse starting and Shea coming off the bench, I got a better flow. I got my scoring. And by the way, Shake's going against guys in the second unit, which is better for a young guy's confidence, who's a young guy scorer.
Yeah, but you know how Brett also, at the six-minute mark, Shake Milton's right. coming out. 6-7 minute, he's coming out. Matisse is coming in.
I know. I hate
Ben
his rotation.
Ben Simmons is going to stay in.
But why does he do that? Like, here's the thing, Dad. Devon, why do you got to take Embiid out 4 minutes into the game?
Because he's gassed. We know it. We've seen it, right? We're talking about all of these things. We've seen it too many times where that has been the issue, because they are, to your point, running up and down the floor. They're not always in the offensive half-court set. They're running up and down the floor. He gets gassed. He has to take him out to give him a breather. And that's just the nature of Joel Embiid right now. Hopefully this conditioning thing that Brett is talking about at the top-level fitness base that he's asking about his players and Embiid himself, maybe that will change. But based off of what we know for the 4 years that Ben Simmons has been here, the 6 years that Joel Embiid has been here, and the four that he's been on the floor, that's just what it's going to be. And also, let me ask you this, though. When you look at the transition opportunity, when he does snatch the ball off the rim, Ben Simmons, but then those times where he is going to fill a lane, they're on a 3-on-2 break, and they have an advantage to what to what they want to do because of the defense, and that will just simply spurn their half-court offense as well. The secondary breaks, absolutely.
Yeah, but
those types of things.
I don't need him.
I see positives from it.
Yeah,
because yeah. I don't solely see it as him being a primary four man. When Shake Milton comes out of the game, and for me, Ben Simmons, he plays 38 to 40 minutes a game anyway. He's now going to stay in that game. The ball is going to be in his hand. He's not going to give it to Josh Richardson. He's not going to give it to what's my man's name, the backup point, Haun Neto. He's not playing.
Oh, my God. So, I can't see Neto right. better not so play.
So Ben Simmons is going to have the ball.
I don't know, dude. I don't. You trust Brett more than I trust Brett when it comes to this.
Not necessarily, because I've questioned Brett plenty of times with, as you said,
I know the decisions
he's made. This whole decision, and to me, is on Ben Simmons and Brett Brown from the very beginning.
Yeah.
Because he never punished him, if you want to say that, for not shooting the ball, not making him sit on the bench because of something he didn't do. And also,
Devon, basketball.
Right.
Yeah, so because here's the thing. You're right in that we're talking to Devon, and you listen to him tonight at 6, right after Mikey Miss. Here's the thing. If Ben, again, all I wanted to do is take a mid-range shot, right?
100%.
Like free throw line extended, they sag. 100%. We're all on the road with that. We've seen them. You're at practice. You've seen him. You know he can do it. If he just takes that shot, then it's all mitigated because then he's the point guard. He's like to me. He's more Magic Johnson than he is LeBron James or Giannis.
Okay.
You disagree?
Because of the shooting aspect, I know you're talking about the passing ability that he has, where at least LeBron will shoot the ball. Giannis is now at least showing to shoot it.
And they're score first guys.
I agree.
Like those guys, those great players, are score first, and you know how it is. Yo, Magic was pass first. Now, he would kill you no matter what. But, he also would take you off the dribble, and he would post you up, and he developed that little set shot. There's no reason why Ben doesn't need to be Harden to run the point.
I agree.
So the frustration that we both feel, or at least I think so, is that if he just takes that shot, none of this has to happen.
Yeah, and as you say that, and I know you listen, so you've heard me say this before, and maybe some of the listeners as well. With that, I try not to get too caught up in that right now, as they're in season. That's more of an even this is technically an off season after as much as time. But the floater, I want to see him incorporate that more so. The free throws, taking it up to about 70%.
Yeah,
being able to hit that teardrop, that will help him out a lot.
And
off the ball, I think that is something that will help as he's diving to the middle of the floor. As he's cutting along the baseline, those jump hooks on both opposite both shoulders, he can do those things. And if he gets to the free throw line between 5 and 7 times, hitting, you know, a nice clip of that up to 70%, that will up his numbers. And I think that that's where they'll still be effective and still being able to run the point guard, if you will, a good amount of the game that he is in there for those 38 to 40 minutes a night, because he's too good to not be effective even in that way. And we've seen the experiment with Jimmy Butler as that guy. Shake Milton is not Jimmy Butler, so he's not going to dominate the ball the way that Butler did. And that's why I think you can still have the impact from Ben Simmons between 1 through 5, wherever he is on the floor, and still get his and still have an impact, both scoring and passing.
Yeah, I hear you. I get you. Listen, you make great points, and I love you. You make great points, and I agree with most of them. I still had my doubts about Embiid getting lost, and I still have my doubts about Shake being what everybody wants him to be.
Yeah, and like I like to say with Shake Milton, and as much as I like Shake, there's a scouting report on him now. So let's see what he does.
Yep.
And once that happens, that's when Brett Brown has to make a quick decision. He's going to probably play like 22 minutes a night. He's not going to play a high number. Those minutes are going to be squeezed between he and Al Horford and, of course, the starters, and mixing in that 8th and 9 man off the bench as well. Shake is going to be out there for a good amount of time. But I don't think with the feature being Joel Embiid that he will get lost.
Yeah.
The double teams will come. As you talked about it, with him getting that ball, the shooters have to make the shot. That's the bottom line there.
I always go back to Brett.
Ball out,
have
to make the shot. Because now you're talking 3 shooters with Harris, Richardson, and Milton. Potentially all 3 shooters of those 3 out there on the floor with Joel Embiid, where Matisse Thybulle, we know defensively, but offensively is still a bit of a struggle for him as well. But I like him. I like Milton.
I just like Milton off the bench scoring. Like I want him to be Lou Williams light. Like, I want him to be that, you know, whatever.
Yeah. And we've seen him explode for 39, so he has the potential of doing that from time to time. But I like what they're thinking right now. Will this work? I have no idea, but I like the idea of trying it right now in the practice sessions, the exhibition games that they have, and then, of course, the seeding games, and seeing where it goes from there.
Right.
I think that Brett will make a quick decision if it's not working, of course.
I love you, Devon. You know that.
Love you back, man.
You're the man.
You.
Thank you so much for calming me down, brother.
Oh, I appreciate it. I hope I did, man.
Thanks, buddy. Take it easy. Here he is, Devon Givens. Listen to Devon tonight, 6 o'clock.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.